in every Christian life and in every Christian's mind and in our theological understanding of God and of Christianity, every one of us has to wrestle with the theology of suffering. How we interpret it will affect our entire Christian life. We can't run away from a theology of suffering. In the faith message, we have a theology of prosperity, which is fine. A theology of success through faith in God. A theology of victory. But there is also a theology of suffering that we need to understand. And of course, there will always be people who pull any truth to the extreme. The truths of prosperity are pulled to the extreme by covetous people and preachers sometimes, who use it to their own gain, or people who are covetous and unrenewed in their mind try to practice those principles, and yet the love of mammon and money is still not dealt with in their hearts. And so it's out of balance. On the other side, the theology of suffering is pulled to the extreme, where every bad thing that happens is called a suffering. There is no theology of suffering. It is only, it's not even a theology, it's a huge big box that we call suffering, and everything bad we throw it and title it suffering. As we study this gospel and the epistle, we realize that it's not just talking about sufferings generally. He's talking about the sufferings of Jesus Christ. If there are three most important things to reach for in our Christian life, it's number one, to know God. Number two, to know the fellowship of His sufferings. Number three, to know the power of His resurrection. These are the three things that the Apostle Paul talked about when he says, I press on to the upward call, to know Him, to know the fellowship of His sufferings, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could understand point one, to know Him. That's what we all want. And we all like point three, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But very few like point two, the fellowship of His suffering. And I ask God why. It's because we don't have a correct theology of Christian suffering and what the Bible says and talks about that. To know God is of course to be like God. When we know Him, we can be like Him. It's the supreme goal of our hearts and lives. But to know the fellowship of suffering will bring about this. It is to understand the depth, the concept, and the passion of Jesus and all that He went through at the cross. It's something that the history, that there's no act in history greater than that, when Christ died on the cross. When all the heavens were stirred up so that at 12 noon, the skies were dark. For a cosmic event was taking place. And one of the greatest desires of my life, I have learned to have it. When I was a young Christian, I did not have it. All I saw was I wanted to know God and I wanted to know the power of His resurrection. But as I grew in God, there's an aspect of God that I began to yearn for. I want to know this passion that He has for us. And I want some understanding or some spiritual experience of what the passion of Jesus is like. What He went through at Gethsemane for me. What He went through when He was whipped for me. What He went through when He died on the cross and He hung there for me. Which we know is not just a physical area. Because he could free himself physically if he wanted to. But it was love that kept him there. He told Peter, "Don't you know that I could call to my Father, pray to my Father, and he will send me 12 legions of angels?" He could have been freed at any time. When they were coming to mock him while he was hanging on the cross, and they said, "Come down if you are the Son of God." If they only knew he had the power to do it. All he needed to do was call to the Father. Even at Gethsemane, he had the power not to take the cup of suffering. He was free to choose. It was not his lack of power. It was his love for us that kept him on the cross. Jesus could call for angels to set him free. And they would surely come. But if he had called for the angels, we can never be saved. It was his love for us that kept him on the cross. And some of the most deeply spiritual men in Christian history have been people who have sought an understanding of Gethsemane and the cross. I remember Evan Roberts of the Wales Revival. How one day in the peak of the Wales Revival, that was one of the most powerful revivals that took place even before the Pentecostal Revival. And he went right up to the pulpit, and before he could say a single word, something happened. He broke down and there were groans and cries that came out that was not quite like him normally. There was not a single sermon preached that day, but there was an invisible presence that was there. And after the experience, he shared that the Lord answered his prayer to give him an experience of what Gethsemane felt like to Jesus. And that explained the unusual presence that was there in that revival. Think about the Apostle Paul, who himself said in the book of Philippians, "Oh, that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection." And I found out that how deep you are in the cross is how powerful you can tap on the resurrection power. The both flow together. You reach a limit of resurrection power where you can't go further until you go back to the cross and the cross deals with your life, and then you could go back for another measure of that resurrection power. So there is and there needs to be a Christian understanding and theology of suffering, but we need to classify it. Number one, it is called Christ's sufferings. It is not just human suffering. Jesus said in the book of John, let's cross-reference with all this background before we launch into 1 Peter. Gospel of John, chapter 15. After he spoke to them the promise of abiding in him, he said that in verse 18 onwards, John chapter 15 verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." Chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Number one, we are talking about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at that closely. Jesus did not suffer sicknesses or diseases. They are not classified under the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sicknesses and diseases are classified under the curse of the law, which Jesus took upon himself when he went to the cross for us. The stripes on his back and him being hung on the cross for us. Let's differentiate this. We can never, he is not asking us in John chapter 15 and chapter 16, he is not asking us to go to the cross. There can only be one death that is sufficient. He is not asking us to go and be crucified again. Never in this entire epistle or in all the New Testament epistles are we told to have a second crucifixion, an individual crucifixion. Never at all. You can examine it from page to page. And that is where I want to differentiate that the theology of suffering in traditional thinking is off. It's like off, being off key. Everyone is playing C and you play B flat. Just not in synchrony with the rest of the scriptures. See, every time we are told about being crucified with Christ, the Bible refers back to that cosmic event that took place 2,000 years ago. It says, we have been crucified with Christ. What we need is an understanding of what took place. And a spiritual experience of what took place. But not a physical replay with us as the new actor, another crucifixion. Let's divide the word of God correctly. Number two. Number one is the sufferings we're talking about is the sufferings of Jesus Christ. We're not talking about the sufferings that came when Adam fell into sin. There has come to all mankind since Adam fell. Because all those things were dealt with once on the cross. He died once for sin. He died once for sicknesses. He died once for the penalty of the curse of the law. The stripes on his back and the nail prints on his hand were sufficient for us. Second important point as we develop a theology of suffering in the Bible, it is based on free will and not circumstantial. That's very important. Let's look at the Bible. I know we have to study the book of 1 Peter, but we need all this background and then we zoom into it. Let's look at Colossians, the book of Colossians. Now it helped me in my early Christian life. I struggle and wrestle with it. And it's so common for us to call the curse of the law the sufferings of Jesus. but they are not equated. The curse of the law is the curse of the law. The sufferings of Jesus that he prophesied, that he said will take place, were a different set altogether. Now, those details we're going to look at in 1 Peter, but we are laying groundwork for the theology. Colossians chapter 1, please. In verse 24, Paul said, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my